How much is on there? Just right away.
Yeah, so he scrolls on it. Good evening. I call the Board of Monroe Public Schools Board of Education. Today is Tuesday, April 22nd, 2025. And the time is 5:30. Jamie, can we have a roll call, please?
Yes, Mr. Heck.
Here.
Mr. Jenkins.
Here.
Mrs. Myers.
Here.
Mrs. Taurasi.
Here.
Mrs. Williams.
Here.
Mrs. Vincent.
Here.
Mr. Zimmerman.
Here.
Stand for the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic indivisible with liberty and justice for all.
This doesn't look like we have any public attending, but if they did, please turn your request for public commentary into Jamie. I'll now turn this meeting over to Superintendent for all the discussion items.
All right, thank you very much. So today we have Tom Bell and Lee Morello with us tonight. Talk about our CTE building, and so we're going to do a little presentation, and this is a highlight. It is a CTE barn, storage, shed, what we call it today, Leah?
Storage building.
Storage building, okay. That's being put up at the same time as our Trojan building, so it's a two-year build on the house. So unlike prior years, every time this one time we wouldn't be able to see Tom because he'd be at the house, getting all butted up and painting and all that kind of stuff. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to those two and let them kind of go through the building.
So backing up a little bit for those of you who are new in the room, the storage barn was something that was approved by the storage.
Yep.
And it is being built with proceeds from five Trojan builds that have been built and sold from our construction program. Over the years, we've accumulated some funds from that. We have some really great community partners that donate to that build each year. And so we're putting those proceeds into this storage building, which is so needed at the high school for our programs. So Tom and his students, and Andy, and actually Glenn Zorn at the beginning of the year, our welding students, all began the year collaborating on a foundation piece of it. And then Tom has been toggling between the Trojan 6 build that's over on our townsite property that they're working on, along with this building that's at the high school between Iowa and the tennis courts, just to kind of perspective if you haven't driven back there to see it yet. We'd love to have you drive by and take a look. But I laugh that Andy calls it a shed because it's like 30 by 100 with four overhead doors, and it is not a pole structure. It's a pole, you know, building with a foundation and so it's much more foolish. It's a very large shed, we'll call it. So
and you'll be able to put that machine up when you're done?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It holds up.
The shattered machine.
That would be a good thing, though, wouldn't it?
That would be.
So the telehandler that you see in this picture was purchased with some extra equipment grants that were state grants from several years ago. COVID, yeah, when we had extra money from COVID, when students went in the building using perishable supplies, we had extra funds. So it was a great purchase. They used it to set trusses on multiple bills at this point. But so that's what they've been working on at the school and off-site. And I'm going to let Tom give you the update on the actual buildings and where they're at with all of that vocabulary. I want to steal his thunder.
No, you're good. It's all part of a team. That's the nice thing about the storage building is it's not just for the construction. It's also going to be used with welding, auto. But then there'll also be times, you know, like last year, the year before, Leah had a last minute delivery for Andy Knabush and ended up coming in some much larger boxes than what was anticipated. It was towards the end of the day and it was like we needed to get them put in. So it's to rain. It just was, everything was lining in the wrong position. So this building is going to let us pivot, let us store, in a way it's going to let us grow so much more. So it's, you know, very thankful. We're all very thankful for the opportunity to have this. This barn is a state inspection since it's on the school grounds, so dealing with the state inspector, which this isn't the first time I've dealt with the state inspectors. Not really anything different, just a different person. I've always found as long as you're doing everything by code, there's really nothing to worry about with an inspector. We've passed all of our inspections. There's not been one of them where he's wanted anything changed. This new inspector, which Paul Robbins, who is the old state inspector, retired a few years back. The new one, Mr. Humphreys, he has learned very quickly that I and my students don't cut corners. And that stuff is built to code and a little bit past that. Especially just Monday, I had both of the pre-pour inspections for the house and the barn. And as he came into the barn to see Visqueen, wire, rebar, and everything is in place, he noticed all of the truss bracing. And it's way exceeds what the architects call for. All of the engineers, what they want in there are in the trusses. But this is just something that that's been ingrained in me 25 years ago. I learned from probably one of the best guys that worked for Lathrop. That all of their truss jobs, and we built some very large pole barns in way when I was much younger, and it's just something that's ingrained in me to build that way. And it's always nice to hear an inspector know that this is a nice solid building and there's nothing that they need to worry about. The framing is complete. The last thing that we're going to do is we're checking the plywood to make sure all of the plywood is nailed off correctly, has the adequate amount of nails in it and stuff like that before we cover it up with the house wrap. The roof is got the sheathing on it. We have the ice guard all the way on it, so it is completely weathered in. And tomorrow they're going to pour the slab inside the barn. It's close to 70 yards. It's close to about 7 concrete trucks that will be coming in and out. Probably take them 2-3 hours to get the concrete placed and then many hours of finishing. So that'll be a big milestone tomorrow once that concrete on the inside is in. He has the foundations done for the frostproof small slabs outside of the building, right outside the small doors. And then the last thing we'll have this year to go in yet, it will be the asphalt. So we're on track. We're on their schedule. We'd like to wait about 3 weeks for the concrete to cure out. It won't be fully cured, but for it to be cured out enough where they could be running some equipment next to the concrete. We don't have to worry about anything breakage or anything like that. But hopefully if all goes well, by the time we leave school this year, all of the concrete will be in place in that building. All of the asphalt will be in place. The nice thing this year is when they do the asphalt, we will actually connect. It'll be a small pathway, about 8 foot wide, but it will connect to the backside of I-Wing for Mr. Zorn, where his small overhead door and his access is. He had kept saying, you know, I don't really think I need it. And I kept telling him, we're doing this once. Once it's done, we can't ask a year later, it'd be really nice. And it's such a minuscule, small, area that needs to be done. And he finally, this winter, said, yeah, you're right. On one of the days when it was 10 degrees, yeah, you're right, let's get it done. I don't want to drive the forklift completely around I-Wing just to get something out of it. We'll still get the roof on at some point. I need to order the metal decking, matter of fact, this week. And then the metal siding will go on next year. We do have the overhangs on, but the siding itself will go on next year. Overhead doors are already ordered and they're in, just waiting on the concrete to go in and cure out a little bit for them to come in. They'll actually set the doors and not do the openers. STE will be in this summer, and then when they do all their work and have the outlets in place for the openers, overhead door will come back to install the openers. The openers on the building are not overhead. They're the wall mount ones. A little bit better quality, a little bit better in longevity. Not to mention with having a forklift, getting everything off of the ceiling other than lighting is crucial. We don't want more things dangling from the ceiling that could be hit by anything or get in the way of storage or anything like that. And lastly about the barn, I'm pretty sure it's a go. But Local 671 and Justin McManaway has been working closely with the with all of the unions about getting the summer camp back up and going this year. I don't know too much about it. I don't know if the students will get paid like they did in the past. I don't know much about that. What I do know is that all of the unions are on board and will be present. It will be a two-week run class. I'm going to teach that class, and what we're going to do is we're going to do these small 8x8 little room inside of there as part of our camp. So I'm kind of killing two birds with one stone, getting it done with the campers. It's not too big of a project that we could do with them, and it kind of gives them, you know, a part in the building as well. So other than that, it's going really good. Can't wait to get done and hopefully have final occupancy sometime early next week on that. Meaning final occupancy to the point where we can legally start storing things in the building and we are complete with all of our inspections and everything else.
Is there a sprinkler system in that or no?
No, there's no sprinkler system. It will have a fire system tied into the building. But because it has the entire building is not finished at all, there won't be any heat, no water. It will have some electric, not a lot, but some electric. And that 8x8 room will be the only conditioned space for some technology. And the main electric panel will be in there. That'll be about it. And we will have access or even need access to that little room. It'll have its own exit or own door from the outside into that room, so it'll kind of be out of sight, out of mind. We'll have a little bit of storage above it because the walls are 12 foot tall, and that little room's only going to be about 8 foot tall, so we'll have a little bit of storage above it, but not a lot.
A security, you can have a security system in the building?
Right now, Dave has got, it'll be hooked up with Habitat, but yeah, I mean,
we'll have security and cameras.
So on the summer camp, because the students, and just thinking about it, because the students are producing work that is beneficial to someone's progress on something, wouldn't they have to be paid for that?
No.
I mean, no?
No, we've done, I've done the camp 3 times since I've worked at Monroe Public, and we've done everything from sheds that we've sold to, gosh, I'm sorry, I'm drawing.
No, that's fine. I just, when you said that, you weren't sure if they were, when you said you weren't sure if they were going to be paid, I saw you nod your head.
Yeah.
It's a great
experience
for kids. It's really
popular. Yeah.
They love
it. Oh, I think it's a great idea. I when you brought that up, it just made me, I saw where you bobbing your head. Oh, I wasn't sure what you were thinking.
Yeah. Mike Hayter talked about it last night at the
United
Way board meeting.
Yep.
So he also indicated that there'll be a adults camp as well. Outside of the students camp.
I don't know anything about that.
Suitable
Yeah.
The United Way people.
I know Monroe County Community College has a grant that'll pay my wage, so it's a lot of grant, you know, so it's just that's how a lot of it is funded. A lot of the unions donate, you know, into the camp, you know, so the students get something, you know, there'll be apparel that they'll get a shirt. I know the sheet metal workers in the past, they would come in and they would have some pre-measured out stuff, and when the kids leave that day, they get a little tiny metal toolbox with them that they built that day with the sheet metal workers. The brick and block layers, they'll bring some bricks and block and tile and all that kind of stuff, and they'll have little setups for them to work. Heavy equipment operators, they've brought a couple cranes in before, and the kids actually get to use them. They've got an electric one and one that runs off of propane, so they can run them in, you know, confined spaces and not have to worry about running a motor. And the kids love it, you know, especially the cranes to be able to pick something up and move it. I mean, they're not moving 20 tons, whatever, but to move that machine, you know, really cool. So
It doesn't need to be said, but I'm a big fan of what you all do and what you provide, and I'm always just amazed by some of the stuff that you guys do and what you teach these kids. And so,
thank you.
Thank you. On the Trojan Build, definitely looks a lot different than what they normally look like about this time. Usually about this time, Leah's giving me a look. Are you sure you've done it?
We have an open house on June 6th. You know, sure.
Mr. Shaw, same thing. You're like, okay, we'll see you in a month, you know, and we always pull it off. I'll be honest with you, it is much nicer to drop back to a 2-year build, even just this year alone. The students have done almost all. When I say almost, I'm talking 95% of the HVAC rough-in. They're setting the return vents. They're doing all of the venting cutouts, running the thermostat wire. And then it enables me to talk to them about why this stuff is installed. You know, case in point, you wouldn't want a return, you know, near your kitchen, because what if you're cooking, you know, a really nasty fish dinner or something, and now it's throughout your entire house, you know, and it's stuff that kids don't know until you do something. You know, that's how we learn, is by doing something, or, you know, a lot of times when you make a mistake, you say, I don't want to do that again. But it's just really nice this year to be able to slow down a little bit, and we're not slowing down. What we're doing is we're teaching more. I'm teaching more about the house, whereas in the past, we would teach it, but it was condensed, and I think it's a much better way to go about it this year. So we are working on soffits and trying to get some siding up. Siding is on site. We just got that delivered today. The fireplace was installed today. They are going to be pouring the concrete in the garage, basement, front porch, and back porch in the next week or two here. That inspection was Monday as well. And HVAC, like I said, that's done. Plumbers is done by Local 671. So Justin McManaway and his crew, they actually come in at night, and you'll have the second-year apprentices will be working out there at night. So they do all of the rough-in. I will work a little bit with Justin on some plumbing, a lot of water lines and stuff like that, which is much easier, much better way to introduce you into the plumbing world with the PEX water lines rather than the real complex about sewer lines and all that other stuff.
Way over my head.
So we've got that coming up. And I just met with Great Lakes Electric today about the layout for the electric for the house. This house, I am definitely scaling back. I learned last year, yes, it was nice to sell a house for what it sold for, but at the same time, it was a very big eye-opening experience that it took us out of the running for a lot of people that are looking for a house when you're pricing it to that point. Without scaling back on quality, we're just scaling back on, we're not finishing the basement at all on this house. This house is still going to have full basement, and let them decide. Some people just don't want to finish basement, and some people want it. Let them do it. It'll all be there, ready for them. They'll have the egress window. Everything's there for them to do it if they want.
What's the price point you're going for on this one?
You know, I'm really not sure. I less than last year. Yeah. I know that one for sure.
When you lower it to 200,000, right?
It won't be 200. I mean, you can't buy a house for $200,000.
No, I said in the 200,000 rather than the
300,000. I would like to be 300 to 325.
Sold and be sold for 200.
So
instead of the 350.
Yeah, when you get, I mean, because that 350, it's just amazing. Some people might have right on their price range, you know, 349 is their max, and when you price a house at 350. They don't even see that house. You know what I mean? Even though that they can barely afford it and they're going to make it happen because they just love it, they just don't even know it's there because it's literally out of their price range. So I just think the 300, 325 is what I'm trying for. It is amazing what things cost now from Trojan 1. Trojan 1, the end bill, what cost the district, it was like $125,000. It was crazy.
It was crazy low.
It was crazy.
I remember talking about it with you guys at the end of the year. I couldn't believe how
You would have thought it would be where it is now, just a few years later.
You would think, but it just, so this house is very similar to Trojan 3. And we built Trojan 3. We just had so many people that were in love with it. Yeah, I mean, we had a huge bidding war because people loved the layout, loved the design. They loved everything in the house. I hate doing cookie cutters, so we've tweaked it a little bit. But it's got a lot of the same features that Trojan 3 has in it. So, so next year when we start off our 25-26 school year, we'll be starting off with siding on the outside, getting it wrapped up, before snow flies, and working on the drywall on the inside and working on the finishes on the inside. I'm sure we'll have a little bit of work next year. Like I said, we'll have some siding and stuff to do on the barn next year. But Mr. Marchese, the other construction teacher, he's going to step in a little bit more next year with the siding on the barn, just because it's something he likes doing that stuff too. So trying to get as many people to work on it as possible.
Is the interest in the student population into the fields and the trades that you're doing, are you seeing an increase in that? Right
now? Gosh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, my very first year, Dave, this might make you grow a gray hair. I had Dave's son, Thomas, in that class. And I want to say that year I only had less than 5 kids go into the trades. Whereas now, out of the 45 kids that I see, I'm going to bet you 20 of them go into the trades, in one field or the other. And it's definitely changed. Even the kids that don't go into the trades, they see how fun it is to show up. I mean, when we showed up, well, not this year, but on a typical year, the very first full week of school, when we show up, it's just a foundation. And there's milestones when we leave and the house has got the roof on it, the windows are in, they get to sit back and it finally hits them like, oh my gosh, we built this, you know? And you'll get the people right about now, the people in the community in that neighborhood will start getting out and walking, and they love to stop. We'll talk to the kids. You guys are doing a great job. And you can see in their faces, they love it, you know? It's very different, you know, than building a shed or doing something else. To build something to this magnitude, I mean, it's just not many of us that do this in their programs. You know, there's many people that just do sheds and they're content with it.
I'm going to take that as a lead into the last slide here. Our program, our Monroe High School Construction Trades Program, is part of a statewide CTE showcase a week from today in Lansing at the Capitol. The CPID, which stands for Career Education Planning District, we're part of CPID 44. Jason Evers is our CPID director. He's at ISD. Our CPID could select 2 programs to represent at the Capitol. There are actually only 28 programs statewide that are being showcased. I'm super proud of these guys and what they've accomplished and the fact that we were selected to be able to do that. The purpose of the showcase is to have the students and the teachers and the administrators, but they really like to talk to the students and the instructors, speak to the legislators about what CTE means to them and how important the support from Lansing is to continuing the programs and what we're able to do with the funds that come our way that they support and approve. So that's the purpose of the showcase, and we will be there next Tuesday representing Monroe. Bedford High School's construction program will be there as well, representing the construction pieces from the county. And then Whitefur High School's Ag will be there with the table. And they're not advertising it as a public event, but it's at the Capitol, so I'm assuming if anybody shows up, they are certainly welcome to walk through. So I thought I would put the time and the address in case anybody was interested taking just a short detour to Lansing that day, but I'll make sure that I get lots of pictures, and I'm very, very proud of our instructors and our program and our students, and I know they will represent us well that day. So.
Congratulations.
Yeah, it's a big deal. We've never had anybody from our part of the state. We used to have it in the veranda, and it didn't hold very many, and they moved it out. I know we're way over on time.
Hugely. So, great job. I want to take care of two quick items for Tom. We talked about, checking for the nails. A year and a half ago, stopped out at our Trojan Bill. That was 5 at the time, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, out there. And I'm watching one of the boys re-guiding a couple other boys who had not nailed the OSB up correctly. Literally going, you're in there, and he's watching. Like, yep, he pounded out. And it's just funny because he said that one boy aside, said, hey, you need to get these guys lined up. And so when he says, make sure you got enough nails in your part is, he alluded to our local unions and the work that they do in their volunteerism. And so when we're talking about the CT barn out there or how we were going to pay for it, we came up with a concept of that we were at a spot where the program that he's talking about with the house bills was making, had already made enough money to pay for the next bill and plus some. And so we said it because of all the volunteerism that goes into the house bills and also, and we're not talking about just the trades, we're talking about Kohler, we're talking about volunteer a lot of hours and time, that money that would go back into the CTO program. So for the first time, to build the barn, once the barn is paid off after probably about 2 more bills, it'll probably be paid off, then the next bill will go for some other project for the CT department.
Oh, I have lots of ideas already.
I know you guys do. That's why.
Don't you worry.
But those monies go back into, so when the community asks, what do we do with the monies, it flows back in enough to build the next house, but the rest of the money goes back in to pay for projects that they do that are big scale, something like that.
And it's still happening here. I just found out Carrier is donating our furnace, the air conditioner, and the tankless hot water system. Yet again, this is the third house that they've donated all of the stuff.
It wouldn't be successful without them as partners. It wouldn't be successful without your support as the Board of Education. So we really appreciate it, and hope you appreciate the update.
I remember
when we were talking about Spring Fest maybe 2 years ago, when Kohler came in with their estimate of what this, if we...
$3 million.
Yeah, $3 million.
We did definitely said, huh?
Tom said, no, pause. We have a different plan.
Yeah. We scaled back there, but... So thank you to the two of you for coming in tonight. You're welcome to stay, or you can spit out.
Remember that?
So, in regards to our staffing update, we want to talk through with you what's going on right now at Monroe Public Schools and the role of staffing. So, as we're going through our budgetary process, we're working on reducing expenditures by approximately $2 million for next year. And there's different ways that we're going to be able to get that done. One area will be in, we talked about last week, through our cleaning. Another area is going to be through our copying and expenses in that area. But ultimately, knowing that 75 to 80% of our expenses are staff, we need to make appropriate adjustments. So with the reconfiguration of our buildings, we looked at each building. What areas can we reduce when it comes to staff? Knowing that our buildings have to have teachers, we've made that a focus as far as class size, keeping the class size small, and then what other skilled individuals need to be in those buildings. And so my team will join in at different points right here when I forget an item. But a lot of what we're doing is we're trying to keep uses fine because of the administration, for the teachers. And then when we can use our grants from 31A to Title I and a whole slew of other grants we have, that helps for the interventions. That helps pay for areas that we would see like our health liaisons. But ultimately, though, we need to reduce our expenditures. So today we went and had conversations with individuals and reducing of the number of personnel in our district. And that was... from our secretarial department, we had 10 months and a float secretary. We brought that number down. Deans, and so the number of deans.
Can we go one by one? So you reduce the secretarial by
three.
Okay.
Yep.
I want to ask you questions.
Yep. The deans, that was reduced also by 3. And so what happens when we look at our K-4 environment, the deans are, we don't have deans there. Our buildings are smaller. Now, at Custer, the large building there, we have very highly skilled dean in that building. So that person stayed where before they had an assistant principal. So rather than having an assistant principal, she got a dean. Okay, so that was the trade-off. As we're talking about staffing, the 5-6 building staffing model is very similar to that of the middle school. So we talk about, like the principal and an AP that they have, it's the same. So we try to keep the middle school and the 5-6 building the same because it's the same number of kids there. An enrichment leader, we reduce that position by 1.
So the 5-6 building is going to stay what it is currently?
No, the 5-6 building will mirror that of the middle school. So when we talk about...
So that leads into a reduction of how many staff for the 5-6 building. I don't have these numbers in my head.
No, and you wouldn't. Because
right, exactly.
That's the thing. So it won't be, sometimes it won't even be a reduction because, for example, at the middle school, any one of you three to help me with what the middle school would have that the elementary wouldn't have had that we have to put in there for this coming year.
I think there was a lot of consistency in what we had in different buildings.
I know we had SRC in there. We had.
They have an SRC, which 5-6 has an SRC.
Yeah.
And they have an assistant. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
They have an assistant principal.
Yes, and they have one dean at Arborwood South.
South.
And then Custer has 2 deans.
Yes.
We chose the 2 dean method with them.
Yep.
But all of the other SRC liaisons in the buildings that we had, those people are. We are not doing them. We are eliminated those in the K-4 buildings.
SRC.
Yes. Student Resource Center.
And that?
Yes. It's under School Climate Liaisons.
Oh, same thing?
No, it's just under them. We did, you want me to go ahead?
You're fine.
We did eliminate Enrichment Leader. At Razorville, last year was a title position. We're not having enrichment leaders at the elementary level from general fund. We're having them through Title I if they choose to with their individual school plans.
Cindy, can I ask a question?
Yes.
When we say eliminate, are we saying eliminate these jobs or are these people being rolled back into other positions? I want to make sure I understand exactly what you're saying.
Okay, so like a parent liaison and school climate liaisons, I'll do parent liaisons. The state of Michigan has changed how people need to be certified to do jobs. And we have several people that we hired through a 31O grant that we're working on programs. Well, they've not finished their programs, and that grant is now done. So we are, right now, we're getting rid of student service providers because they don't have the correct, we need people that at least have a bachelor's of social work or a master's of social work to be in these positions. And all of our elementary buildings will have a social worker degree, either bachelor or master of social work. So we're eliminating some other people that we're doing these student service providers.
So to answer your question is this, the conversation with people was today. The position you're in at this very moment in time is not going to be at Monroe Public Schools next year. Now, you as an employee, there could be options based on your degrees, your certification, your licensing, whatever else you have, because there's positions in our district that always open up at different moments. And so for some, it could be anywhere from a parapro to a long. We have people that are commit subs, and those are people that we need every single day there. So some people that we talk to today may go do something different in our district. Some may say, no, I'm going to go do something else. But those positions that we're talking about right now, those titles or positions will not be here. So they do have that ability go to pop in if they want to into those funding positions. Now, pay-wise, it could be the same. Some could be less. Some could be more based on that job. I'll share that pay.
Is this where the 52 positions come in?
No, we're going to talk about that here in a couple minutes.
Because I'm with Gary. I'm listening to the language. And I'm with you. Like, I'm still trying to decipher that. Because if we're talking about reduction in cost, the only way to reduce cost is to eliminate paid positions.
No, so what
so
it
I'm
comes down
to
is when we reduce a position, we're going to reduce the general fund cost. The grants are the grants. Don't worry about the grants because the grants are all about those monies right there make it so that we can do a lot of extra stuff. But the general fund is what controls and makes so that you have to borrow money at the end of the day. That's the big one. So we're trying to reduce our general fund expenditures. But when Cindy was bringing up the point about a principal might say, I have 31A money or I have Title I money. I need this person, this kind of a position right here. They can write that into their grant, and then that person can be there. So it's not an additional cost onto our general fund. So we're trying to reduce general
well,
fund.
Well, and like the
right
schools,
so what you're doing is you're taking positions away from Monroe Public School per se, and moving that paid through these other funding sources. Am I understanding that?
So
when I say reduce, I'm like,
yeah, no,
it's
so
people lost
so
their
we
job.
Have. No, then. So what you have is you have a multitude of different pots that the money all comes from Monroe Public Schools, from the federal level to the state level. And so our biggest pot that we have to protect at all times is that general fund, okay?
And you're thinking that it's going to reduce $2 million next year out of the general fund.
Oh, yes.
Okay. And just please correct me if I want to get off track here. And so this is what we're going to do to reduce the money out of the general fund. But we can take monies from other funding sources
correct
to fill in for some of these positions.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to keep going. Then if we happen to lose that grant, those positions would then be
yep
liable to be terminated.
Yes.
Is my thinking
that's
correct?
Right. That's it. Okay.
Yep.
Yes.
And that's exactly it. And so with grants, we have to be very cautious as we watch out. Cindy, as you brought up, what was when you just said the grant that they funded us, and now
31-0.
And so we were funded for that grant. It's gone. And so we have two choices. Either A, you take the payoff for everyone that was in the 31-0 grant out of general fund, or you say, we can't afford it. Or how much can we afford it? And so what we're looking at here is that we have to reduce our general fund expenditure because the revenue for sources as far as into the general fund isn't going to increase that much. So to work to have a balanced budget is here, because when we start talking, I'm going to need you to pop in here in a moment, okay?
I was going to ask if I could give an example.
That'd
before
be
you
wonderful.
Ask. Sure. So for an example, we have student service providers at all of the elementary buildings, so that's about five people.
Mm-hmm.
Out of those five people, two or three already have a bachelor's degree in social work, so they can then become a social worker. So then out of those five, there's only about two or three that don't have those credentials that are welcome to apply and be considered for other positions.
A commit sub.
Yeah. A long-term sub, a para, something else that they qualify for until if they choose to get that social work credential, if that's something that they want to do. So we're kind of condensing is maybe not the right word, but condensing down some different positions that we're doing similar things into really what we want is a social worker to be able to do all the things and be licensed to do all the things that maybe these two or three other positions we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Does that help at all, or does that make the puddle a little bit muddier?
Muddier for me, because as I'm listening to you explain, so they're moving into other positions. Where are these other positions coming from? Because the last conversation we had was it's full. Staffing is complete. We got all nine. So if they're moving into these other positions, like how are they opening up and where are they coming
from?
So
back to what we said at the beginning is for our individuals to please watch for postings that come about. Because people leave our system, it could be that we're talking about these other positions, and so, or a
amount of money opens up in the grant fund area, but it's most of the time it's when people leave our system. And so this summer we'll have, I won't even give maybe greater than one person that's in the grant funds area or even the general fund that's going to leave our system. Mm-hmm. And so that's what they can pay attention to. It is like, okay, I see that that opened a position up right here that I would like to have and I have the qualifications for. And so that's what we're going to have an opportunity for.
Basically, you're talking attrition, through attrition, through other funding sources.
Yep. And there's the other part is you have to, we have to pay attention to the contract. We have to pay attention to always making sure that we give our employees time notice. That's what we did today. It's like, hey, here, just so you know, your position won't be here next year. Potentially another job could be, because we see that. And Cindy, if you wouldn't mind taking a second to talk about what we see every summer happen in our school district when it comes to people leaving and coming in. It's
it is a summer shuffle. Well, we have an agreement with the union, and it's right in line with their contract that we will post every Monday the vacancies that we've received from the week before. So it's like a steady flow that we get. We're doing some reduction with teachers with right sizing classrooms and buildings. That has not been touched yet as far as we have not, the retirements are mostly from the secondary, and we have a few people that are not going to be renewed based on performance. But the union, based on that, the union contract says with the people that are not tenured, we have a lot more leeway in how we let them know. The people that are retired, they're just retired. But we do have the option of not renewing, and that's going to happen later on in this school year. But, like, school climate liaison is a perfect example of a posting. We currently have 7 school climate liaisons that work in our buildings on attendance and students that have Tier 2, Tier 3 attendance issues. So that the people that are in the buildings, we have 7 today. When we start the school year next year, and we do have a district person that is like our truancy officer. I don't know if any of you remember Cindy Burns.
Yeah.
She was an icon. She was the attendance truancy officer for our district for many years. Well, we have another young lady that does it. Her name is Alexis Pepper. She's going to have working with her throughout next school year, an elementary school climate liaison will be given some buildings to deal with, and there'll be a secondary one. So we've knocked that group from 7 people down to 5. So we'll have the savings and those. That we'll have 3, but we had 7. Alexis Pepper wasn't in it.
Oh, I'm so the eighth person down five.
Yes. I thought I was doing my math correct.
Sorry.
Yeah.
We were doing math the opposite way.
Yes. So she's here at the admin building. The other 2 people, we've not decided where they're going to sit, where they're going to be. I don't know, Terry. I've not talked with you about that and David what we're going to do and Andy. We've not done that. We just know that's the move we want to make, and we felt today was the day to make that move. So they were all told. And they all had questions, what's going to be available? Well, we always need assistance. We really do.
That's the question.
Yeah. So go ahead and answer the question.
It was in board briefs.
I did it. But right. We have a host of assistants. I think we have 171 names in our assistance pool, but they're either non-instructional, which are people that are breakfast. I want to say breakfast, lunch, and dinner, but it's really breakfast and lunch. And we also have instructional or independence facilitators. That's the groupings, right? So if you are a person and you work lunch, you get 5 hours a week, let's say, on lunch, and you sub in a classroom as an LRE for 30 hours. Let's say you are out sick for 3 days. your pay is only based on your breakfast or your lunch duties. You don't get substitute pay for work, for not working. So what the district is going to do, we want to hire them for more hours so we don't have so many of these people that just come in and fill these, like a water hole putting a peg in. It's not permanent.
But I think the question comes in that we're not adding.
No, we're not adding. We're just trying to make them whole.
Certifying them.
Make them whole is a better way of saying it, I think.
You're taking 171 down to
50. No, well, we've got so many people that they have random hours. If you saw the bid sheets, you would just say, Lord have mercy, what are we doing here? Because they're just, yeah.
Now, how is that a reduction? I don't understand. If we're adding hours and we're condensing.
We're not adding hours. We're filling hours. We're filling hours that were never filled.
And then we're not losing any staff, but we're increasing positions. Like, to me, those two cannot correlate. In order to financials, because we know grants, like what happened with the 31-0 grants, the people that were paid through that? Like, what happened to those people?
How they're still employed.
They're still employed.
So it had to switch to probably, I'm assuming, general fund. Okay, so we know that with grants. So switching someone to a grant doesn't give it the longevity that the general fund does. So if we're not reducing anybody and we're moving everybody into grants, I'm still trying to understand.
There's two grants that we haven't seen disappear, and that's Title I and 31A.
Those but they can't grants. Cover all the staffing.
But when people leave, that's my point. So if a position that was paid off 31A money or that's paid off Title I currently, and that a person leaves that's paid out of there, one of the people that was today, their position says it's not going to be here next year. They can apply for that. So that's what it's about. There's no guarantee. Now, if we were all being paid, all of us in this room right here, we're already in a job and we don't leave, and a person, well, there's no opening then next year for them.
Right. That's okay. What I'm trying to
that's
do.
That's my point.
Well, and it's all based on hours. It's not people.
In the two positions you mentioned, secretary and deans, right, there's six positions that need to open up in order for people to have a job. So
we have, there's 25 positions that will not be here next year.
So we,
but when we have, I mean, why don't you two give us the number of people that we hire every single year?
Oh, golly.
Because of people leaving us.
So what happened today was we gave notice to these folks that, on this list that we're trying to get through, that they won't have that position next year. We have not, correct me if I'm wrong, I wasn't in the meetings directly, we have not promised them anything for next year. We have encouraged them to see what we have open, if any of the openings would fit the education and background that you have or your desire.
Any of the people that are on the list.
Essentially lost their job, but they can reapply if something comes up. So yes. We have decreased and people lost their jobs today. So they went home and told their families, my job won't be here next year. I won't have a job. And the only hope I have is if a position opens up for which I'm qualified for. Otherwise, I'm no longer employed by Monroe Public Schools. It doesn't matter how you say that. They lost their job.
Right. But
they can rehire it in a new position if they open up. Right. We don't know for sure that you're going to have that many positions open up.
And the hope was
we never got a list
now of that they give some that time
last
to
year?
Find something
summer?
For next
every
year. If they can
work
find
week,
it
we
with
we
us.
Put out who left. Nations, number of people that were approved for hires.
There are
probably 30, 40 people this summer.
At least.
Oh. I knew we had some, but I didn't realize we had 30 to 40 people turnover.
We have some people that intentionally wait until the day teachers are supposed to report. And why do we wait to tell these people then? Why are we telling them now they don't have a job? So we notified them now to give them the opportunity to prepare for next year, whether that be applying to positions that are going to be coming open and posting now, if there are more opportunities elsewhere. We felt like they deserve to have some notice so that they can make plans for their personal situation for the next year.
I can share some personal experience. So I may have worked for a neighboring school district, and I may have been laid off from said school district 2 days before the end of the school year with no notice. And it was horrendous because I missed out on all the job postings
in the month of May that are coming out now. Mm-hmm. And so, and then I also was like a highly specialized teacher, so there's also much fewer job postings for music teachers. So, slightly miffed at the timing, especially because they knew that that decision was coming. So, I would like to say that telling early is better than telling late.
Absolutely. Oh, I would agree with that.
So it's yes, it's unfortunate news. However, providing them that news early is much, much better than delaying that news later.
Oh, I agree with that. All right. So how many people were told today?
That's what I have too. 25 people. And there will be, we haven't done the assistance yet. We're sending a survey to them next week to talk about where they would like to work and that we're offering some remediation for them to pass the test, because a lot of other people have taken the test 3 or 4 times and have not passed. We're also going to offer some math remediation because we think that's part of their problem. And we have a teacher that is will do it for us. But because it's hours, it's not people.
So you take a second right here. You're gonna have to explain. So we have our support, our parapro, so people that work one-on-one aides in the classroom. And so in order, go ahead,
my example will probably answer some of it. In the parapro category, in order to be an instructional assistant or a special needs assistant, you have to have passed the ECS parapro examination. So in order to be paid and counted as part of your bid time. So we have quite a number of folks that have not passed the parapro ETS exam. So those folks will get their lunch hours, so say breakfast and lunch 5 hours a week. That'll be their bid time. And then they will have sub-instructional assistant time, because you can be a substitute para without having passed that ETS para program.
But it's less money.
But then they make less money, and it doesn't count towards their sick time or when they take time off. So
right.
I've got 5 bid hours a week for lunch breakfast assistant, and then I'm working another 20 hours a week as an instructional assistant sub. But now I'm paid less for those sub hours because I'm not qualified, and those don't count for earning my sick time. So when I'm sick, I only get that 1 hour a day. I don't get my sub assistant time. So what we're trying to do is help some of these folks that haven't passed the test get some, I don't want to call it tutoring, but
it's remediation.
It's to try and help them.
But we want to see if there's interest. If they're not, we need to think about how we hire these people. I mean, that's why we're doing it soon.
Yeah. Right. And because if we can get them to pass the test, then they can be a regular instructional assistant, and all of that will count towards their bid time. So then their sick time will be based on actually
what they actually are working.
And they'll get that higher pay rate because they're not qualified.
So were these the positions that were posted as being hired as a subcategory in the hope that when they got their testing and stuff, were this the same group of people that
you're
talking about?
You're talking about the folks that are in a classroom as a teacher that haven't gotten their full license.
No, it wasn't teachers. It was
social
behavioral
workers.
Behavioral techs or something.
Oh, it was,
where you brought them in and they had to.
It was just
a
registered behavior.
Yeah.
It is similar to that, but the behavior techs aren't in the parapro. It is a somewhat similar situation.
Because it is a risk. Mm-hmm. It's always a risk when you bring someone in, the hopes that they're going to be able to excel in the category. And if they don't, you have to start all over or do something else. I mean, it's a risk to do that.
Yeah. So our hope is to get a good number of them to pass that test, and then they can be regular instructional and special needs assistants, and then we have more qualified people doing that work.
That will absorb the hours instead of so many darn people.
Yes.
And that goes back to your 52 number that she's talking about. It's just a conversion of people that were not, that were doing a sub job because we have maxed out all of our instructional aides trying to get those 52 in there so that that's where we've actually hit our number of.
We're back to 52.
It's back to just filling the aide positions that are not filled.
That's so there's 52 aide positions that are not filled.
That's
by highly qualified people.
Correct.
Because they don't have the qualifications.
Because they haven't passed the test.
Because, and so we took a risk in 52 positions.
No, you don't have 52 people to that pass the test.
So but these people are employed with the same thing that we were talking about. Yes.
They're employed as a lunchroom aide, but they can be a substitute person and just go in and work.
We have a lot of them that just do the breakfast and the lunch, though, too. But it makes for more individuals. If they pass the test, they can have more hours and be at the school day all day while their kids are maybe in school.
We're filling the positions with subs.
Yes.
That's what we're doing.
Yes.
That we, instead of being able to fill the positions immediately with somebody who passes the test, we're having to ask our lunch aides, our breakfast aides to sub into these positions during the day.
Yep. That's it.
Sorry. I didn't mean to.
I know this. That, like, you know,
I've worked with many of these people, and I understand, like,
the lingo.
Yeah.
I'm really trying to check them. Is the test just a single test, or is it different for
it's
what grade you want to be the assistant?
I think it's just one test.
It's okay. Sections ELA,
okay.
Reading and writing, a reading, and a math. And most of the people can pass the reading and the writing, but they can't pass the math. So we have someone that's taught in our district forever and ever that's a mathematician that says she'll teach if they want to be tutored. And she's pretty spot on her teaching. She's retired and works in another capacity in our district.
Is it the same assessment if you want to be in this position, elementary, like early elementary?
It's the same.
Elementary?
It's the same regardless of where you want to be.
Okay.
It's a general knowledge test.
Okay.
Is really what it is.
Got it.
But it does have some story problems that really pull people into the weeds.
So on this chart, so I'm guessing you're going to update this. So on here, it says there's 1,039.71 building staff.
Yep.
And so that number is not going to change, is what you're telling me.
Well,
I'm trying to just put this in basics.
It's
like, I don't need to know like some of the movements. I just want to know the basics. If we're not adding staff, but we're reducing staff, how does this number get affected? This is what I want to know. Like this number, total staff.
Yeah.
Well, I guess, let me say this. That grouping, we have all of our Sodexo people. Every single individual that puts their feet on our pavement are into that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what you listed as staffing.
Yeah, no, I know, but I'm just saying, sometimes there may be a variation.
Well, we just let us know that there was 10 positions that were not. Because I would expect, listening to the conversation I'm having and listening to the response to Gary's question was, we are moving people around based on Cassie's. We're moving people around, and these positions may not be available, but these positions are. So if we're moving people around and moving people into what, that number should stay the same.
Correct.
If it's reducing, then that's what I care about knowing.
Yeah. So what we're reducing is $2 million of general fund expenditures next year. That's our goal. And it'll be done staffing. It's going to be done through other little ways that don't, we're trying to do everything we can to not touch the classrooms. Okay. That's where, because, hey, that's, Lord willing, get there. That'll be the last step when it comes to any kind of a budgetary issue. And so those positions we just described to you right here is that those positions will not be. So when we come in for, next year, you won't see, for example, like a post-secondary planner into your approval. Now, that person was a post-secondary planner. They may have offered a position because it's something else that somebody left, but it's not
they
going
might
to be
a
creation of a new one.
But you can't create a new position.
Well, no, has to go from the whole no, 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 no. What I mean, though,
you
is...
You just said create a position. That's
but let me rephrase that. My apologies. Is a position, back to like the principle, I'm at Razorville, and I need X person, X position, okay? If we've had that position in our district before, that's what would be, what when I say the word created there. But what we've told everyone is it has to be a grant-funded position. And there's monies that will come in this year. We don't know, at the end of the day, what lands, you know, when it comes down to all of their buckets they're going to give us this year, we don't know. I mean, there's some special interest areas. We just said that we need to give our staff in these positions ample time to look. We're going to do as much as we possibly can through attrition. I know we haven't even talked about teachers because we've got teachers that have retired. Well, there's a fair amount that are not going to be replaced. That's part of towards that $2 million.
We wouldn't replace teachers?
If we're reducing class sizes, but that's where I want you to not look at it through just a whole like big blanket. You have to think in terms of the elementary world. You may look at the 5-6 world, 7-8 world, and 9-12 world. You have to look at Orchard. Each one functions on class size a little differently, and the number of classes that they offer. The elementary, we've already said that our kindergarten size is what we want, so we already know, you know, how many kindergarten teachers we're going to want to meet our district next year and so forth. Well, as we move up, that shifts. You know, for example, Leah, and with the CE program, she has, you know, so many classes in the program, so that pulls from these other courses. So if having a teacher that has a class of 5 students, for example, high school, and another one of 20 students, another one of 10, well, those are the classes that will look to collapse and keep their and change what their class sizes look like. At the end of the day, I'm just straight honest with you is on this. We have a $2 million hole this year. I'm not sure what next year is going to look like, but we have to start doing stuff now. And so where we can reduce a teacher or where we can reduce another person, that's what we're going to do through attrition. But we knew that with the building designs changed, that these things we could do now. They'll change to stop it there.
So in order to, for me, to ask less questions, trying to decipher and follow the progression, it would be beneficial to update this. Because this is broken down by school, this is broken down by position, this is broken down in such a way that is very beneficial to me looking at it. So if you could update this.
It's updated every day, Darla. But it's ever changing.
Okay.
It's ever changing. It changes. It changed. Last I saw it today was at 1 o'clock, and Jill just pulled out. It changed this afternoon 4 or 5 different times. So taking this out of it, even.
So what I'm asking for is when you're doing this, right, I would like to know how many teachers we are no longer having at school. So I'm not suggesting you update this on it every day, but this is a major staffing plan change that I would like the update on.
Well, if I could, this may help you, maybe. In board briefs, I believe a couple weeks ago, Andy asked for me, based on a question that the board had, to put when a teacher leaves that. And that's what we're doing now. Okay? That's the one thing with teachers. Now, teachers are our biggest capital, human capital that we have in our district, and principals, let's face it. So, do you want to see every employee of the, do you want to see this done for every employee of the district, or do you have a core group you're more interested in?
So this is helpful. And it was really helpful to break it all down and understand where we were at, especially when the 5-6 design came in and the elementary redesign, where we were at with staffing.
Okay.
Because the conversation was staffing is good. We weren't going to be making major staffing changes because it's an elementary building.
Okay.
And it's going to operate as an elementary building, right?
Yep.
So that made sense.
Yep.
So now I hear all of this. And I know you understand it. I know Cassie understands it. I know Andy understands it. And maybe even Mary understands it, you know, better than I do. And maybe everybody else in the room does. But at the end of the day, I would like to know that what we said we were going to do with the 5-6 design is actually what we're doing because we made a lot of promises.
So,
and the promise was we're not going to have
people aren't going to lose their jobs. There's not going to be major changes, and our staffing is complete. So if that's not true, just show me where and why.
So first and foremost, 5-6 billion that we presented to you, it hasn't changed.
Not at all.
Nothing of what we said would happen. 5-6 billion changed.
It was the entire elementary redesign is what
the elementary, but when it came to the elementary buildings or positions, when you're looking, when we have an elementary of
200 kids.
Right. And what should those services look like inside that? So again, though, I'm here to say that in a year from now, we're going to probably have a very similar conversation when it comes to expenses and reductions are going to be needed. Okay. And so, but when it comes to the commitment to the 5-6 building, to the resources to that building, to each building, what we've made sure is that all of the resources that the buildings need to have are there. The positions we're looking at right in that we today or that we put out there today are ones that we needed to make changes to so that we can.
We added jam to the butter.
Well,
we took the jam away.
We did. And, but we had, like, at the end of the day, be able to say, okay, I know in that for certain. So right now we're packing $2 million. Well, that's based off of the state does this. If the state comes in at anything different, less, well, that money, that looks different. So when we say, are you done today? Are we in other positions? At this very moment, no. But in a month, 2 months, next fall, it could be different because we're back to, as we talked earlier, we need to have a balanced budget because if we have a balanced budget, we're not having fund balance, which means we're not having a bar. Okay? We're a financially stable district. Those are the facts. So we can update, we'll update the that document right there.
Seriously, I'm just trying to keep it simple.
Yep.
Because I, you know, there were a lot of promises made during the elementary redesign. There was a lot of discussions about staffing. There was a lot of those things that went on. And so I'm just trying to catch up. This is the first major staffing discussion that we've had since then. If I've missed something, I missed it, but this is the very first staffing that has happened. And so I just want to make sure we're being truthful to what we promised people.
We
and
didn't
that we're
reduce a single, we didn't break any promises. When we look at the class sizes, we adhered to the teacher's class sizes, we adhered to no splits, we adhered to everyone having a classroom, and that the buildings would be supported with a coach and all of that stuff. We're talking about support systems here that aren't going to be in these other in our K-4 buildings. That's where the change shift is happening. When it comes down to the number of people we have for our student service providers, that is for the attendance side, instead of having the 7, we're going to take it down to 2 to do that work. And so those are the things there. But to say that any moment in time, I mean, I could commit today going, okay, there's going to be no more changes, but
that's not what
that
I'm
future
suggesting.
Is going to be changed there. But as far as the commitment to that, is to that 5-6 building to every other elementary building has been met.
These 25 people today may have a different opinion on that.
Yep.
And that's what I'm trying to decipher, because when we go out there and someone says people got pulled the positions, I want to make sure I'm saying the right thing.
Yep.
I want to make sure that I'm putting the right information out.
But I would also argue that without the redesign happening, you're going to also be struggling at reducing your staffing size.
Well, we know that.
So,
not reducing, that's what I'm trying to figure out. Are we reducing it or we're not reducing it? We're just doing it differently.
So, again, you're reducing.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
I think that these staffing decisions were because of the 5-6 and the redesign.
No.
I thought this was 100% finance related.
This is.
It is.
I had no, I was operating under the assumption that this was 100% money, had nothing to do with redesign, anything.
It has.
Am I wrong?
No, you're spot on.
Oh, yes. Product redesign.
But the redesign, if you would, when we look at the number of personnel in the buildings, it would become more difficult. But at the end of the day, it's the money problem. And so that's why we picked these positions here. When we say the elimination of a position, we said these positions or these staff members are not, they don't have a job, you're correct. This very moment in time, they don't have a job. When it comes to if there's a grant amount of money that opens up because a person has left it, and that person that today got noticed, they
qualify for that job, they can go into it.
We've always done it this way.
Oh, I think we will move all around this district.
No, I meant, you know, notifying people, 25 people. That
I remember one year, Darla, we notified everybody in the district. Everybody got a big
tour. I remember you telling me.
Yeah, they all got it.
Yeah.
I'm not recommending that everybody.
No.
I'm just telling you. I know you're. So how that's how I came up to date is the information coming from the federal government to you guys about those grant situations, because we got last Thursday at our state update in Lansing that will impact me not this year but next year. Yep. They've already told
us. So our grants, we are very cautious on, especially at the federal level when it comes to our federal grants. We'll not be budgeting them until we have. For certainty, it'll be budgeted more at about a 95-90% amount of what we currently have.
Definitely not an increase, just moderate decrease at this point.
Yep.
They have not released any preliminary allocations for title funding yet. They have not indicated how that will work next year if the Department of Ed remains a skeleton crew and or completely disbanded. Everything is very much up in the air, which as I'm desperately trying to work on the budget, that's making it exceedingly difficult to do so.
So what you know today may change next week and inform decisions in a different way.
I'm just trying to catch up to where you guys are at even just now.
Yeah. No, the problem with the way the state funds us is it's if you ran a business this way, you would probably go bankrupt.
Mm-hmm.
You seriously would. Because I wouldn't know when to invest money and what equipment to buy. I do not envy you guys.
It's a
tough decision.
It's a moving target for all of us because we'll forecast a budget here for you, and that will be approved in late June, and we won't have all the data points. I mean, and so, but we know in our hearts right now, though, based off of last year, 2 years ago, current year budget, is that if we do not curb our expenditures by $2 million right now for next year, we already know we're going to be behind that much. So that's why we started this process now.
So question on the grant, the title funds, you probably know this. So under 31A or Title I or some of the other ones, are there an allocated number of positions that are available under those, or do you got to constantly be re-putting in for positions? Because here's the way I see it. A grant says you have 20 positions, and the grant's going to cover those 20 positions for X number of years.
So, for example, the title grant, every year on an annual basis, we have to complete the consolidated application, which is Title I, Title II, Title III, and Title IV. And in that, we have to detail what our plans are for those funds. That would include any positions that we're continuing there, like our school improvement school. We always do write in Title I and Title II. And so they don't ask for necessarily a set number of positions. They want to know how you're spending the dollars. We assign, we've got this many coaches are paying 10% of everybody's salary out of Title II. And then bigger buildings, we can cover this much out of Title I for these positions. And then the remainder comes from 31A. And 31A, we don't have to complete an application. It just has to be allowable in serving those students that are identified as at risk.
It's a sum of money because every district, their salary structure and their expenses by employees are all different variances. So it's not a number of 20. For example, 20 may be in our district where Medford might, they could structure, or actually go north up to Wayne County is probably the best example of that what we can support out of them. That grant is here. So each year it changes. We said, like, for example, for next year, we're going to budget a conservative amount on Title I, which would be probably around that 90-95% number, because we don't know what's going to happen. So when we put that allocation out to the buildings, that's how much you have. And so and they use those monies in various ways, from staffing to programs to materials. So it gets used in there's just allowable uses. The biggest one, though, is you cannot suspend, you can't take. We used to have a grant for class size reduction. Okay, so if your contract called for specific numbers, you're required to do that out of your general fund. But if you could move it around,
you could use it that way. So that's not available though to us. So now you're in the spot like, okay, you can't use it to just pay general things. And so that's why I say the grants take care of the grants. At the end of the day, we try to expend our grants fully. There will be some carryover. But for us, the general fund matters. If that thing depletes, that's our problem area. Okay.
Maybe at the beginning of the school year, Cindy, when you have this all figured out, that would be a good time to update our calendar because that would work for you.
Yeah.
Okay, that works. Thank you.
And we can actually, by then, $42, I think it would be helpful is when we really look at the staff of the building, okay? How many are there? Minus the support, the aides, because aides are a variance. That's a big variance based on hours of work, okay? And so we have an hourly allocation per building, what they can have right there. So they could have 21 people or they could have 5 people if it's all about the number of hours. Mm-hmm. So getting an hour allocation.
Yeah.
But when it comes down to the number of teachers, when it comes down to the ancillaries, when it comes down to that stuff, we can prescribe that right up. It is 6:46. I just told Tom that with the Mets update, we can put that onto that next work session and talk about it there. Because if you have comments or questions on it, please, you could more welcome to reach out to me. You can see that it was enough.
Do we have any public commentary?
We do not.
Okay, very good. So can I get a motion to adjourn?
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Do we have support? Show hands. Thank you.
Mary, could you hand me the recorder?
Monroe Public Schools Board of Education.
So Mary, did I see on the Facebook? I did not.
I did.